will do our best. We're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, page 39, the quality of the concealed wisdom in general. You can find it in Sage's Fruit, Kuf Pei Zayin. You can ask questions on Cab TV. Selected questions will be aired. So again, the writings of Bala Sulam, page 39, or Sage's Fruit, Kuf Pei Zayin, the quality of the hidden wisdom in general. There are two parts in each study or understanding. The first one is in terms of matter, namely the nature of the bodies that exist in reality before us. And the second one is in the figurative forms which are abstract from those bodies, namely in form and the essence of itself. The first one we shall call it educative substance or based on experience. And the other one is figurative, and it is theoretical, and is called the science of common sense. Once again, we'll read this again. There are two parts in each such understanding. The first one are the physical substances, and the other one is abstract form, things that are abstract from those bodies, namely those that we perceive with our mind. And the first one we shall call things we attain in matter through experiment, and it's physics, meaning besides physics, the meaning is any science that comes to us from research, from certain experience. And the other one we'll call it figurative understanding, which is called the theory or science of common sense. And the part of matter also divides into two, which are four, because sometimes you could limit yourself only to it. And it is above nature, which is called the wisdom behind nature, namely based on known experiences, on the understanding, and there are four parts here. The first one is the part of matter, which is experimental. The second one is matter, which we perceive, or the wisdom that exists behind nature. The third one is matter, which is experimental, and for the time being, he doesn't explain more than that. Look, we have to understand that this article was written as a draft, and it's not like a closed, sealed article. And the fourth part is the matter coming from the Atik, which is the wisdom behind nature. He doesn't explain more than that, and that's how he divides it. And like we learn in different places, he divides it due to that which falls under the scrutiny or not. And the form, like he says in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, there is form clothed in matter, abstract form and essence. And here he divides it differently. Haskalat Tzuatit, figurative understanding, meaning that it is the upper. It talks about the upper, meaning that these forms, we receive them from the upper. We have matter, and the forms of the matter we receive from the Creator, from the light. And Askala Chomrit, there we talk about the degrees, which are called the Olamot and Peltzufim. And nonetheless, it is experimental, since the principle, the upper principle in the concealed wisdom is not clear here at all, and we have to learn this all together. And I have already proven that it is the revelation of His godliness to His creatures as it is explained in the article of the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, as I have clarified, and after you shall understand this, you shall understand my clarification in general. But in truth, we can't understand before we attain it in our qualities, and then from your actions do we know you. There's no other way to go about it. This upper principle is determined by one, unique and unified. One, and this is very clear, that the upper is one, included of all of reality and all times, past, present, and future. For you have no giver that gives something that does not exist in Him, and were not all of reality in Him, would it have not already existed in Him, it couldn't stem from Him. And this is proven to anyone who has the basic understanding. And in research, this is called to the sages by the name One, and the patriarch to all this was Abraham, meaning that there are no two authorities here of good and evil, but only good. He emphasizes that this book, it has to do with Abraham. In the rest of the places, he's not that certain with the book of Yetzirah, but here he says it. Okay, so Abraham, especially, he inquired the matter of the One. What is the matter of the One? That everything is in us. It could be in us only since it comes from the upper. Meaning, by your actions do we know you. I could know it myself. And the connection between the upper and the lower by the different connections and actions which I reveal within myself, I could make some kind of an approximation towards the upper and say that this is how it happens. This is how it happens in the upper because this is how it happens in me. And that which is in me certainly exists in the upper. But he says that on the way there could be here different changes and corruptions between what I reveal and the upper, between me and the upper and what I reveal. And here you have to make the comparison between these two levels, me and the upper. But nonetheless, it is called one. One meaning that in the lower there could be no more nor less something outside of me, more than I receive from the upper. Therefore, it is called one with respect to the lower. Unique. It shows that it is still in his unification and does not change as a result of us feeling the evil, not even in the relation between him and his creatures. For instance, a sick person coming to the doctors to take a thorn out of his finger or whatever. And he doesn't think that he does something bad, but the doctor and the patient, that there was a love between them to begin with, they are the same lovers, both during the act of that unpleasant cut. And this is called unique. Meaning that although with respect to the receiver, there are the different kinds of feelings that he receives from the upper correspondingly works and only the good things stem from him. Therefore, he's called unique in his actions. In his different actions towards the receiver feels the way he does. The giver has no change in actions. He is always unique. Yes, and unified shows that all of his attitude towards creation as creator is no more than to reveal this uniqueness of his, because all the pleasantness, wisdom, and adhesion is expressed in the secret of this unification, meaning that all of the internality of the different actions we feel, they stem from the one. they stem from the unique, although we feel them as different and impossible that it is coming from one, but He is one, unique, and unified, that in each and every action, the internality of the action, there is only but one goal, to reveal Himself towards us. Yes? I wanted to ask about this term, one. Why is it so essential, fundamental, and has such, as if one word, that as if behind it there's everything. Everything is included. Well, what is this one? There is the prayer, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It doesn't say that the Creator is one, unique, and unified, but it says that He is one. Because one actually includes within it all three. One means that He is the first and He is the last. And there are many interpretations to it by the Rambam and others. But the meaning is that I am the lower, He is the upper. My substance and all my forms come from Him. Besides form and matter, I have nothing. It all comes from Him. So, here's the one. One. The source. The source for everything. Thought, sensitivities, in mind and in heart, everything is Him. Meaning, before I think, before I feel, He arranges for me the feelings and the intellect for it, and how will I respond, and how will I receive everything and accept it, and what will I say about it. It's all Him. If matter and form dressed in matter, it comes from Him, then simply, therefore, one includes everything. Now, unique and unified, they speak about the quality of the One, meaning that all of the positive and negative things that appear to me the way they do, that I'm inspired by in different forms, that today seem to me good and tomorrow is bad, or today is good and bad with respect to different discernments, it all comes from Him. It's the same One, only it is possible that He is sort of painted, colored in different colors. The unique tells me that from His uniqueness, that He constantly changes and turns me, He aims at one goal, to reveal Himself to me and bring me to adhesion with Him. Therefore, the unique and the unified, they are in the term of the One, and they only point at its different forms and manners which are revealed with respect to me. Yes? Why? In different cultures and religions and man's attitude towards reality throughout thousands of years, this term of the One is maybe the most powerful term of all.
It comes to us from a state that the person's structure is that a person is not capable in believing that there is one force that controls him, rules him, that because a person from his own nature, because he is in this inner split, in this multiple forces under different foreign influences that seem to him completely unrelated, contradicting to one another, either in its internality, once he's merciful, once he's cruel, hateful, loving. And also from nature he sees that once he treats him well and once he treats him badly. And also from the society he sees that. Therefore, according to our egoistic nature, that we're in still vegetative, animate, and speaking in the egoistic way, we're unable to ascribe our reality, our nature, to each one of those. And therefore, in all the original faiths that didn't come from Abraham, you don't have that term of the unique. It's all multiple gods, like they have Zeus in Greek mythology. He's like the primary god, but beneath him you have thousands. And more. And the same in all those faiths. You have the god of wind and rain and sun. How do the Egyptians have it? One god eats the other god, and then you have sunset, and then you have the sunrise, that it wakes up and it's born. And all these mythologies are rich. But a person isn't able to ascribe all these things to one force. It's against what he is himself completely split, and it's against what he feels in nature, that nature is from one end to the other. There are two forces, plus minus, night and day, hot and cold, good and bad, whatever you'll say. Already it can't be one. How can it be two contradicting things that are one? How can that be? It can't be. The opposite. Everything we feel, they deny that it's one. And therefore, until Abraham didn't discover, Adam, he didn't publicize himself, but only in a very indirect manner, reached Abraham through these 20 generations. But when Abraham began publicizing this, look with Terach, his father, Abraham's father, the entire ideological war was between the fact that he's raising humanity, Abraham, to a degree that there's only one force ruling reality, as opposed to many. And that brings a great problem in the view to the world, in philosophy, in the man's attitude towards the world, in changes in the society, in many things. I don't want to go into this. It also belongs to one who's a ruler. He's one king, and then he's one, and then there's someone up there who's one, and then there's a problem, who's more and who's less. It's not simple. Not simple. If we're talking about human psychology and a person's perception of reality, a person doesn't care today or 5,000 years ago. It's a problem. It's against the government because it limits the king, who is the creator, that I should listen to him. If it's many, then it's not a problem. It's the Nile, or a king called evil, or sun, or the Nile. That's okay, but if it's one, then he's above us. Then who am I? So am I Pharaoh or not? Who is the creator that I should listen to him? These are very subtle matters, not simple at all. I don't want to talk today about religions, that also they have a messenger or the creator, the son of the upper one is below him or what? How was he born? What happened to him? You understand, there are such confusions here that people aren't capable of dealing with the term one. And therefore, the entire spiritual matter is based on that thing. Well, ask. I don't want to go into it too much because for us it has to be clear on the one hand. On the other hand, look how difficult it is for us to delve into this term one in all of our thoughts and all of our desires, and to ascribe ourselves day and night constantly to this one. The more we escape from this connection, and don't say, I don't feel him. Of course you don't feel him. If you would feel him, then you'd be connected in this necessary way. It would oblige you to do so. But I'm saying this term that's not in your sensation, how are we incapable in our inner work that we read about it and we talk about it and we're in it? Look how we're not capable of ascribing to this one creator who is one, unique and unified, and we're not able to ascribe everything to him. Everything that happens to us in the society, to family, in the world, or whatever. Until I don't feel it in my senses, that then I'm tied to that same source, like on a ray of light, that I'm in him and he's in me to a certain extent. Until then, it's impossible that the moment something will happen, I'll think of him. It's impossible. I'll immediately think of 1,001 reasons, not about him. It's a fact. Each one feels that. Whoever's not in that feeling, it's a fact. How should I say? It's a fact. I mean, it's proof that we are... Not, doesn't matter if you're talking about 5,000 years ago or today, according to our egoistic nature, a person is not able to be tied to this term one. Why? Because we are split. We're constructed according to these two things, light and vessel, darkness, light, heat, cold. We're not capable. My feeling is constructed from two, from a desire and from a certain sensation of a fulfillment or a lack in this desire. That's two. One comes directly from the Creator and the other comes indirectly if it's a pleasure. If it's not a deficiency and a fulfillment, then they both come indirectly and I can't ascribe it to the Creator. How will I ascribe it to Him? So it turns out that until we don't reach this recognition, this sensation, the feeling, the revelation of the Creator, everything we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, listen to the Creator, He's one, it's all a lie. A person can't say that He is one. Because according to his nature, it's not one. Therefore, this slogan, to reach it and to say it, that means reaching revelation. That only then you can say that it's one. All my bones will say it. Therefore, it's obliged in the internality of the Torah. And the fact that people just say this slogan, listen, how can it be that you're saying, listen Israel, who are you turning to? You're turning to the degree of Israel. You're turning to Shema, to Bina, that you have to reach it from the degree of Bina to the degree of Chochmah. Then you discover the light of Chochmah in the light of Chasadim, and then it's clear to you that He is one. The Zohar interprets it in a very clear way, very broad way. Listen, Israel, the Creator is our God, the Creator is one. It's in the light of Chasadim. It's called complete faith. The light of Chochmah is the perfection of the light of Chasadim. That's the form we have to reach, receive, in order to bestow, as it's called. That's what it is, this phrase. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You reach adhesion, you reach that He is one. One, unique and unified. Where do you reach this? That all these contradicting forms unify in one middle line. They reach this one, and even though they're different influences, you unify them, because you begin to see that also from good and also from bad you become good, and then you reach that the Creator is our Lord, the Creator is one. One means that it's in Bina, that it's our Creator, and there the Chokhmah is clothed. You discover the Havaya, the Chokhmah, not the Creator, the Havaya. Therefore we see in the entire world one big confusion with the Creator, with this term called One. And no person on the street, never mind religious or secular, he is not in connection with this One if he's not in this revelation and in adhesion, at least partial. He has no one. He always is an idol worker. Yes? Because he's not in a state of revelation. So it's called that he's an idol worker. Because for him, everything has multiple reasons, things that multiple causes. Because if I have no adhesion with this one source, then how can I feel that I'm under this influence, this one influence? You can't. Where does it come from? From the fact that inside I feel adhesion with one root, with one source regarding everything that happens to me. And that's what we have to reach. I have to feel it inside. That he is revolving all this to me, all the feelings, all the sensations, it's all from the inside. It's not this blind faith, I believe. I believe that he's giving us conditions. He gives us conditions on the... hopefully we'll reach it. So it's a very, very difficult term. Therefore he also explains it to us in this... in Istaklut Primit, in this inner observation, in Tas.
That he's one unique and unified the way it happens. It's not that simply he wants to tell us, he wants to philosophize or explain to us perception of reality. Perception of reality, it means perceiving the Creator, perceiving the source of life. This is called perception of reality, because besides this, there is no reality. All the rest, I feel reality. Reality is him. Yes, Gilad, please. Because of our weakness and the lack of ability to perceive the One, we need the unique and the unified. Unique and unified, after we scrutinize them, they are included in the One. Without them, it will be impossible to achieve the One. The term of One cannot exist, cannot be without them, because that's how it is on our behalf, coming from us. Yes. I didn't really understand. Who do you call an idol-shipper? Let's say I'm an ordinary person. I call you an idol-shipper. Why? I don't, appreciate statues or... You what? You're really spreading them in the air. You just don't feel it. You sculpture them in the air. Isn't that right? If you refer everything that happens to you not to that one force that you know, that not every time it's a different force, but that one force which is called unique and unified, that all these things, you add them only to that one, you ascribe them to the one, and you see that all the rest are only as different forms and manners. Say your wife tells you something unpleasant, so you understand it comes from the Creator. Tell her that. That she is a doll that represents his attitude towards you the way she does. Yes. So, Sek, if I live my life, and if you refer to her, it means that you build a statue, a sculpture. Wait, I don't know. I just want to give the full picture. You have to refer to her, and through her, you have to refer to the Creator. There have to be two here. It's not that you'll start, you know, everything is divinity, leave me alone. But to understand that this manifestation is his representation, how he appears, how he shows himself to us in order for us to unite all these different forms into one form, which are opposite in their appearance towards us, and to refer, ascribe all of them to one source. And it is possible only if you use the whole world in order to unify, unite it towards one source. Okay, and if I refer to life, you know, usually the boss is at work is only my boss and my wife is my wife's. Idolatry. Then I'm an idol shipper. Yes, you are. Your boss is your idol. He influences you. He does what he does, like your wife, like anything else. It's not like you manage them, but they manage you. It's obvious that these are gods, idols. All that you refer but to one. Our problem is that we think that it is one, but each time this one changes. And when will it be one that does not change? When I will reveal him. I have no choice. I am an idol worshipper, and completely. And as much as I try, I'll try doing this, or I will do it this way till I will reveal the Creator. But when I cancel myself towards him, it means that I break all these sculptures, those that Abraham broke. I broke all my sculptures. It means that I ascribe myself to him. This means that I have entered Ibul, which means conception, that I have conceived myself in the upper womb. I see that. Yes, Chaim. Is our mutual teaching, learning, will it bring us quicker to this recognition? I really hope so. It all depends on the attention towards what we are going through, to try as much as possible to be incorporated in these waves that we're undergoing, to live in them. Say we went through a general state between ourselves for several hours, to try and continue and continue it in general in the group. How does the group feel? How does it think? How does it digest the things it is going through? Always within my nation do I sit. That's very important. It's actually everything. With respect to realization of the goal, it's everything. If a person does not distance himself from this public and tries to go through those states together with them, and we're let to feel certain changes, traumatical changes even. It is in order for us to feel that grasp and not let it go now. It's very important, yes. I'd like to sharpen the perception of reality of everything is he around me. Then I have to accept everything as him talking to me. Anyone telling me something, he told me. We're not getting into your philosophizations. That's something else. How do I have to respond to it? How do I have to accept it? We are talking about terms, and this is what we're learning. Otherwise, you will drag me into articles that there are dozens of articles about it. Think, and that's it. There has to be the term of one unique and unified as a goal set before us. The more we yearn for it, the more we will achieve advancement. Substantial and experimental knowledge. The substantial knowledge is to know the reference of all of reality towards of the creatures and the way they cascaded as a cause and consequence from the very beginning till they came to this world from up down and from below up. And the very preliminary thing is the understanding of them. This is the picture of nature and the essence of life. Meaning, to come to know this whole system called Malchut Even Sof in all of its different and separate parts, as much as each and every part, it corrects itself to connect to the rest of the parts in a harmonious system. And how they came out this way, because it really influences the general understanding of how the system exists. Meaning, how this system was concealed from us, it is called the cascading from up down, and the way it is revealed in us, in our ascension from below up, that the system itself doesn't change, but with respect to us, the way it is hidden or revealed, hidden from the cascading in the concealment, in the appearance of the world, and how it is revealed in order for us from the revelation of the concealment of the system. To find out how it works, he says that the main thing here is the cause and consequence, because it gives us how things are connected, the priority and preferability to each of the different qualities, and how to set them in place. And afterwards, when we come to the general synthesis, to the general connection of all this knowledge, then we achieve that which is called Malchut Ein Sof. Creation in full, where the light, the creator, are dressed, and both are in harmony, the very same like in the first state, also in the third state, like we learn. So this is materialistic knowledge, and he says that it is experimental, stemming from person's experience through all these stages. You could say, how will I know all this cascading from up down by our ascension from below up? We learn also the cascading from up down. A person, he rises only on condition that he receives to begin with the understanding of the term of what is the descent, because it says from Zion, Torah will come, from the exit and entry. So we learn about the gap between the steps in the cascading, and by this we make the correction and we ascend from below up. Eventually, when we come from this world to the world of infinity, as if in that very same ascension we undergo these two states, each time it is a descent and we climb it, descent and we climb it. This is the path. It is all experimental, based on experience, till the world of Ein Sof. And this is what he says in general. So, yes, Aran. If a system is whole, integral, every part works on all the rest of the parts, with respect to what does it determine? What is the cause and consequence? What are they referred to towards me? But I am the part that takes that system apart into pieces. What? Towards me it is separated into pieces. It itself isn't. So the question is, how do all these parts come together, these digital parts, into something analogical? How is there the scrutinization of the cause and consequence, which eventually comes together into something whole? It is the light that connects. you're asking a question that it is impossible to open or solve in our world. It's like an integral. What is an integral? There's no such thing integral by us. An integral by us is when we put together many digital things into one whole thing, but nonetheless we restrict them into tiny pieces, and then I say, so it's like P. It's infinity. You can, but you have to take into consideration a part of it, and then you can calculate. So you're asking, how are these things only by the light that afterwards covers everything, meaning compensates, and we're incapable of doing it? These are known things, and math, physics, and all the measurements. We're limited in everything. We do everything. We have it with a certain tolerance, a mistake that we understand to begin with. So, in our world, does there exist something whole? How is it possible in our world and whole? So this is what I'm asking. Simply the lack of our sensitivity to everything being broken. It's like if I feel in it. No, it's not the lack of sensitivity. We have to be equal to the light. A kli cannot be itself. It can't be whole of itself, integral. Can't be. Because always in it are two opposites. And these opposites, till they connect at the end of correction, where one sustains the other completely, only then is there wholeness. We don't know what it is, but they reach this completion. In our world, you always have these questions. To square the circle, there's this term. There are different such things that we all the forms that point at infinity, at the whole, we cannot calculate them even in mathematics. In all of our measurements, in physics and anything, there's no such thing that we can find something absolute.
But the fact is that there is such a term of an integral system of infinity. There is such a sensation. So where does it come from to a person? If it doesn't exist in our world, then when is this understanding from that something integral is something that is one, something that flows, that's round? This research comes to us from the Creator. The speaking within us comes to us from the Creator. Otherwise, we're as animals. There's inanimate, vegetative, and animate, and we belong to the speaking. And in this development of the speaking, we feel another spark that comes from the godliness. This spark can be as a spark that attracts us towards godly revelation, attainment. And it couldn't be not to godly revelation, but it still attracts us to perfection, to these different expressions in art, in music, in anything. I search to reach this perfection, this whole. It comes from above as a preparation that I'm influenced from above, from the degree of godliness. So, to continue Oren's question, can you say that the attraction towards perfection or towards revealing this one, is that necessarily a beginning from the point in the heart? It's from the same source, but it's still not from the point in the heart. What, these artists or these musicians, they have a point in the heart? No. But it still comes to us from a higher degree that's unrelated to the animate level. There is a difference between man and between a beast, that he searches perfection to some extent, and the higher he is, then he still searches for this completion to his state. And we read in our life, we call this spiritual culture, art, we call that spirituality in our world. There is a reason for it, because it comes from the same root. Go ahead. Hold on. He found something. In relation to what we spoke about, Baal Salam writes in the article, "This is to Judah, we do not find a certain need that it is not found in all the animate level besides the awakening to godliness, that only the degree of speaking is prepared for it and no other. It is found that the entire essence of humanity is only in that preparation that's imprinted in him to yearn for the work of the Creator, and by that he is sublime to the beast. And the work of the Creator means attaining perfection." And we tend to that either from sufferings or from being attracted forward. Okay, practical research. From nature of these degrees, that thee who attains founds pleasure and pleasantness to a great extent while he attains them, that this thing is simply attracted and comes down from the upper desire. Because the ways of his providence in the existence of the world are no more than by these two equal forces, that the one who wants them to be done, he pulls them either by pleasure in the time of act, that this pleasure forces them to do so, and what he does not want them to do, he pushes them away by sufferings, that the creature suffers while doing so, and therefore he leaves it. And this law is entirely in the degrees of animals and in the human species to be complete. And therefore his providence complicates, and he needs compensations in each and every moment. And sometimes this law is deprived by the law of nature, which makes it as a second habit. So he wants to say how we develop by sufferings. There won't be sufferings, we won't develop. We can develop not by sufferings if we attract them ourselves, and if we determine that sufferings is something else. If I'm in sorrow that I have no love of the Creator, then I'll develop. But I determine for myself my empty vessel, and for me that is the source for development. But you can't do without that, because that's against nature. Therefore, either we develop as beasts by the sufferings that we feel in our life, food, sex, family, money, honor, or domination, or we develop by the sufferings, the deficiencies, as it says, lovesick, that I find or invent for myself, or I find a higher deficiency, and that becomes such a deficiency that it eats me up from the inside and doesn't let me rest. And then a person substitutes one type of sufferings to another type, but he still has to have this sorrow. And if he attracts the sorrow of our type, like we say, then of course he advances in the path of hastening instead of the path of on its time. But he's still in sorrow, he's still searching, he's restless. But it's sweet sufferings, it's called the sufferings of love. And by that we can advance. Whoever's looking for this peacefulness, right, he should know that righteous ones have no peace, not in this world and not in the next world. So if you want to be righteous, then you'll have this unpeacefulness also in the next world. So that's what we're promised. And he who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater as well, also evil and also good inclination. But they feel this lack of perfection, this restlessness. Therefore, he who is advancing, he who is a Kabbalist, feels himself under greater pressure. What can you do? Yes. But still, in the end, you reach this peacefulness. Yes, peacefulness. What peacefulness are you talking about? What peace are you talking about? Do you have peace, you mean death? But in the end of correction, it's the frequency and this restlessness from all directions that's felt as complete perfection. Let's say it is, and by that we'll conclude for now. We have a few messages before we conclude. Today, Sunday, we have a special broadcasting day on the internet site kab.tv. At 4 p.m., the Zohar lesson will be broadcasted live in Hebrew, English, Russian, Spanish, German, French, and Italian. At 5:30, we have the World Children's lesson, and at 6:45 p.m., the World Friends Assembly will be broadcasted live. All of us together in Jerusalem are going to discover the light between us this Hanukkah in 8 days. Rav Lightman's lecture about the meaning of the festival, lighting the Hanukkah candles, culture event, songs and donuts. Monday, 14th of December, 6:30 p.m. Hebrew University, Wise Hall. For details and enrollment, you can call 1-700-509-209 or go into the website kab.co.il. But that will conclude. Thanks and have a great day or night.
נשמות באות רק ממקום אחד, כל הנשמות בעצם נשמה אחת, כל האנשים היום כל כך מבולבלים, מפחדים ובגדול הם מרגישים תקועים. זהו כפר גלובלי, הקשר וירטואלי, כולם צריכים להתחבר, כולם צריכים להתאחד, זה רק שינוי מנטלי, גם אם ממש לא בא לי, אם טוב לי או רע לי, אם לא נפתח את הלב, מגלה רק כאב, אז בוא תהיה ריאלי. שכח מאחור את הזמן, איש לא יכול לעצור, מספיק לחשוב על איך אפשר כל יום רק לגנור, כי עכשיו הזמן שלנו לאור. זהו כפר גלובלי, הקשר וירטואלי, כולם צריכים להתחבר, כולם צריכים להתאחד, זה רק שינוי מנטלי, גם אם ממש לא בא לי,